Welcome to lesson 6 of the Revelation course. I hope you are enjoying this material because I'm enjoying exploring it with you. And as I do with most of these lessons, I would encourage you to do the teaching. You know, we learn things by hearing, but we learn things by doing. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, but faith also comes from acting upon the Word of God. Faith grows by action, not simply by hearing. And you know, one great way of doing this is to pray the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1. Kenneth Hagin talks about years ago in the late 40s about taking that Ephesians 1, 16 to 20 prayer. So when will Paul prays, God, open the eyes of my understanding, let me know the hope of my calling, the riches of the glory, etc. He speaks about praying that in the first person, putting it and making it his prayer. God, open the eyes of my understanding. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And just praying it every day for about 2 years, and then having his whole life and ministry completely changed and opened up. And also, you know, about God giving him visions and different things in life, which changed his life and actually the course of the church in the world. So, put a demand. It's okay to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't keep begging, but keep asking in faith. Be like that widow woman with the wicked judge. God's not a wicked judge, but Jesus says, if a wicked judge will give in, if you're persistent, how much more will a just God answer you? So today we're going to talk about mystery and revelation. Again, a couple of concepts I've talked about in the past, but I just want to spend this entire lesson looking at those, talking about them. And I want us to have, again, revelation about mystery and revelation about revelation. I want us to have a good understanding in our heart of what those things mean. And as I touched on in a previous lesson, I believe there's a place we can actually be happy when we find a mystery. We can be happy when we find something we don't know. I think we can be happy when we find the lack of revelation, because it's really an invitation to revelation. If Amazon or, you know, the postal service or UPS, whatever, pulled up at my house now and gave me a package and I put it here on my desk, and as I'm sure you do at times, I might wonder, did I order something I forgot about? Has somebody sent me something? What is in this package? It's a mystery. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but I know it's there. And I know that I don't know what it is. I'm aware of my lack of information, my lack of understanding about that. Now, I can allow that, if you will, to push me into frustration and think, oh, this is package, I don't know what's in it. Or I can open the package and the mystery will become a revelation. So let me give you a couple of key scriptures. One that we've read in the introduction, and I'm going to pick a few verses from Mark chapter 4. Let me say this as well. I really believe this. I think Mark chapter 4 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. I would say Mark chapter 4 is one of the, probably in my mind, the most important teaching Jesus ever did. You know, as a minister and a pastor, I don't think I've ever heard any situation where somebody's come to me and said, Graham, it's not working, I'm not receiving, that Mark chapter 4 didn't give them the answer to, if they would actually look and see here. Mark chapter 4 is the key to really the whole understanding of the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, if you don't understand this teaching, you won't understand anything I teach. If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parables? That wasn't an insult. What he's actually saying is this parable becomes the key to obtaining understanding of every other parable of the kingdom. Good. So again, two verses. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things. Again, if you will, underline that word or think it through. Say it even out right now. The secret things belong. There's a sense of ownership. The secret things belong to the Lord. Okay, the next phrase, same verse, says the revealed things belong unto us. I want you to see that secret thing. What's another word for secret things? Mysteries. What's another word for revealed things? Revelation. Things that have been opened, been revealed. And the secret things are God's. The revealed things are ours. They are, if you will, I like to say the real estate in the Spirit, the possessions, in a sense, in the Holy Spirit that we can have. Do you know, it's actually possible to have a revelation that's your possession and forget you have it, forget that you own it. But something, let me say this carefully. It's possible to learn something and forget it. It's possible to learn something and forget you knew it. But when you have a revelation, it will never leave you. Even if you forget you have it at times, it will always be there on the inside of you. It's interesting. Nobody ever really forgot how to ride a bike. Yeah. If you've learned that, it's sort of there on the inside of you. I spoke in yesterday's lesson about the learning your times tables by speaking them. And when you really get that and it sinks into you, it becomes yours. And our possessions, we are brokers, if you will. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. The things that we possess are actually the things that God has revealed to us. So the secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong unto us. And as we read in a previous verse, to our children, to our children's children, and that we may act upon and activate, that we may do all the words of this law. Right, second passage, you want to go to Mark 4. Again, for the sake of time today, I'm going to pick 5 verses, I believe, verse 11 and 12 and 21 to 25. But I would really encourage you to read that whole passage. And I have a separate teaching out there where I go through, I think I spent about 4 hours looking at Mark chapter 4. But in Mark 4 verse 11, he says to them, "Unto you is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Now again, I'm going to pause as I go through this and just make some comments. Jesus says, he gives a parable, and to anybody who came to the meeting, the Pharisees, the Romans, everybody could hear his parable. And some might have understood something, some walked away. His own disciples came to him in Mark 4 and said, "Explain the parable. Show us what you really meant." And Jesus gathers his disciples, those who will be the called out ones, the ecclesia, the apostles of the Lamb. And he says, "Unto you is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." And I believe the Lord wants to say that to you today as you follow this course, as you watch this video or hear my voice. Unto you is it given. And there's something we've got to grasp there. It's like a birthright. It's not a birthright. It's a born again right. It's our right. It's our privilege. It's our calling to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So when that box arrives at my desk and I don't know what's inside of it, I can go, "Oh, God didn't show me this." What I should say is I am called to know the mysteries of God. When we see something in God's word that we don't understand, we can go, "Oh, that's just complicated." Or we can say, "No, I have the right to know that." You know, I have a church building, one of the churches I lead, 2 or 3 miles from my home here. And we have a whole bunch of rooms in the church. Sometimes there's so many rooms. There are rooms there I have not been in a year or two. Literally, there's so many little storage rooms and levels and different things there. And but I'm the leader. I am the pastor. I'm the senior leader of the house. It's my, I don't necessarily go in everywhere, but nobody can say, "Graham, you can't come in here." Why? I've got the master key. I've got the authority. And to me, is it given to go into those rooms, if you will? I have permission to do that. Now, somebody who comes to the church on a Sunday, they have permission to come into our sanctuary, into our bathroom, into the cafe in the church. They don't have permission to just walk into my private office with private papers without permission. And I want you to see that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong unto us. Unto us is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now again, I want you to zoom out here a moment and think about this. You know, there's a passage of scripture Jesus quoted more than any other passage. Seriously, by an order of magnitude, and that's Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6 is the time that it begins in the year King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know, where Isaiah, for my British friends, got taken to the heavenly temple of God, sees the glory of God. You know, a coal touches his lips, if you will. The Lord says, "Who will go?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." here's where I'm going with this. Jesus quotes a verse where he says, hearing you do not hear, seeing you do not see, perceiving you do not see. Make, and then Jesus quotes this verse. It says, make the ears of the people heavy, the eyes of the people dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, perceive in their heart, and I turn and heal them, or turn and save them. Sozo, salvation. Here's the principle I want you to grasp. God hides things from the world. God does not, repeat, not want the world to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Why? Well, he's actually being kind when he does that. Okay, I won't open the scriptures for the sake of time there, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 11, it recounts the story of the Tower of Babel. And it's a very, very revelatory, interesting story. The people gather together and they're unified and they have a vision. And they say, we will, through our own efforts, we will attack heaven. We will build a tower. We will use our strength, our wisdom, our force, and we will go to heaven. We will ascend up into heaven. They say, we will make a name for ourselves. Yeah. And the Lord comes down and looks, if you will, at the tower. And God says a really interesting thing. The Lord says to himself, the Trinity, if you will, he says, if this people are unified and they have a vision, nothing that they imagine will be withheld from them. And the Lord comes down, and again, I think it's an act of his kindness and grace, and he confuses the languages and scatters them. It's a really interesting thing, but what God did at Babel, he undid at Pentecost. God has given the church the same language. The language of promise, the language of scripture, the language of speaking in tongues. And God hides the principles of the kingdom from the people he doesn't want, because they will hurt themselves. They will abuse those principles. Those principles aren't, they're hidden not from us, they're hidden for us, but they're hidden from others. So Jesus says, verse 11, unto you is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those that are outside, things are done in parables, so that seeing they may not see, they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear but not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. So Jesus says, I want you to catch this here, there's something to see, they see it, but they don't see it, they don't get it. There's something said, they hear it, but they don't hear it with the ears of the heart. And Jesus says, if they did see the thing that is there and actually see it within them, if they did hear the thing that God's actually saying and did have understanding, comprehension, revelation of it, it would change their way of living. They would turn and they'd receive things from heaven. Now again, there are things God wants us to receive from heaven, but God does not want the world moving in his authority or in his power. There are principles of the kingdom that God does not want the world operating in, but he does want the church operating in. And it's so important we get this. Verse 21, I'm going to flip down to Mark 4:21. He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Again, I'm going to keep reading, but what's he talking about? A lamp. I tell you what he said. The entrance of your word gives light. Remember that? Psalm 119:107, I believe it is. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, Proverbs 13 says, illuminating all the parts of the inner man. And is a lamp not to be brought under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? But we carry on reading. Look at verse 22. For there is nothing hidden. Secret things, hidden things, mysteries. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret. Secret things, hidden things, mysteries, all the same thing, but that it should come to light. If anyone have ears to hear, let him hear. And in verse 24, and we're going to come back to this in a later lesson as well, he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you used, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear will more be given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given. Whosoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away. Boom. Again, so much in this, my friends. God gives revelation, not so that we would see something in the spirit and think, ooh, I'm special. I have this thing in me, and not use it. God doesn't light. When God gives you revelation, it's like him lighting a candle on the inside of you. But he doesn't light a candle so that you would do nothing with it. He lights a candle so that you would let that candle shine, so that you would allow it to illuminate yourself and the world around you, so that the candle shining in you and through you would change the way you walk and show reality as it really is around you. And again, we'll come back to that in another lesson. I want to read this in a following lesson from the Amplified. But he says to them, take heed what you hear. Matthew says, take heed how you hear. With the same measure you meet, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear will more be given. There's a principle there. You know, revelation is not a binary thing. I talk about revelation and mystery, but there are levels of revelation. Revelation is progressive. There are times God gives us a piece of revelation, and then he waits to see what we will do with it. And how we respond to the revelation we receive determines if more will be given to us. If we, to him who has what? Has revelation, more will be given. When we lose the revelation we have, even the little we have gets taken away. And we can, in this passage, Jesus talks about those who receive 30-fold, those who receive 60-fold, those who receive 100-fold. Well, who determines the measure of revelation? We do, by the measure in which we hear that revelation. Hey, I'm going to close for today, and we're going to carry on looking at this today. But I encourage you to read through the notes with this video, to just pray out that confession and look at those three questions at the end and pray, journal, do some thinking and meditation on those. And I will be back tomorrow with another lesson. Thanks for watching.